Today I'm going to talk about HTML5 and in-vehicle infotainment systems. First, I'm going to talk about the introduce general technologies in internet. After that, I'll move on to the introductory to the HTML5, and we'll cover the IVI. So let's start. It has been 40 years since the invention of the microprocessor, and 20 years into the rise of the modern internet. All of the technology required to transform industries through software finally works and can be delivered at global scale, easier than ever before. Over 2 billion people now use the broadband internet. This is up from 50 million a decade ago. At least 5 billion people turn smartphones in the next 10 years, giving every individual with such a phone instant access to the full power of the internet, every moment of every day. This means almost every device is going to have a web browser. Let's briefly take a look at how web browsers have evolved. PC was the leading platform for web browser technologies. However, it started to get interesting with the birth of smartphones. And we are about to see full-featured web browsers on in-vehicle infotainment systems with heavy focus on HTML5. So, what about automobiles? Okay, what about it? In today's cars, software runs the engines, controls safety features, entertains passengers, guides drivers to destinations, and connects each car to mobile, satellite, and GPS network. The trend towards hybrid and electric vehicles will only accelerate this software shift. I mean, electric cars are completely computer controlled, and the creation of software powered driverless car is already underway at Google and major automakers. The shift in what consumers expect of their in-vehicle infotainment systems over the last decade has provided automakers opportunities to sell up through increased value of these systems. Already in 2006, the Oliver Wyman management consulting firm predicted that the worldwide market for automobile electrical systems and electronics expected to grow at a rate of about 6% per year, reaching 230 billion euros by the year 2015. This is representing more than 30% of the automobile value. I mean, it's a big opportunity. It's a big market. Okay, we'll come back to the automobiles in a minute. We know who this is, right? It's a visionary for many of us, I guess. How about him? Does anyone recognize who this is? By any chance? No? Okay. He's Tim Berners-Lee. He's an inventor of World Wide Web. It has been 20 years since the birth of World Wide Web. The reason I'm mentioning Steve Jobs and Tim Berners-Lee is because the world's first website and web server was running on a Next computer at CERN. The Next is the company Steve Jobs founded after he was fired from Apple. So there is quite a relations there, I thought. So hypertext markup language. It was first created by and developed by Tim Berners-Lee in 1989. And second generation of HTML and third generation of HTML and HTML 4.01 in 1999 was a major driving momentum in internet history. However, in 2002, newly developed XHTML, first generation and the second generation standards were turned away by the industry. Basically, industry didn't welcome the XML-biased policy of XHTML. So, in 2006, Tim Berners-Lee admitted that XHTML was a failure and proposed a new working group to evolve HTML incrementally. Around that time, key players from Apple, Mozilla, and Opera founded a WG to evolve HTML, and they didn't like XML-based bias policy, nor the pace W3C was moving. So WG, they focused on improving HTML, CSS, DOM, and JavaScript standards. Interesting is that Microsoft was also invited to the group. However, they did not join, citing the lack of patent policy to ensure all specifications can be implemented on a royalty-free basis. Anyway, this became the starting point of HTML5, and the project was transferred to W3C in 2007. So W3C published the first working standard document in early 2008. So there you go. That's the HTML 4.01, which is currently widely used HTML, and it was it's more than a decade old. So let's take a look at the current market status briefly. Adobe, to put full support behind HTML5, leaves Flash to standalone mobile apps. For years, Adobe has tried to position Flash as a superior solution for rich, interactive web content. Yet, with the advent of HTML5, even Flash on the desktop seems like one plugin too many. Adobe's best bet now is to quietly deprecate Flash and put all its chips on open web standards. Will there be a Silverlight 6, and does it matter at this point in time? It's something to think about, really. Desktop PCs. Laptops, netbooks, smartphones, tablet PCs, handheld gaming devices, cameras, and smart TVs, and of course, automobiles. It's forecasting to year 2020. It's an explosion, which is quite amazing. And I would like to briefly show you a typical example of how the rise of the smartphone has resulted in daily phone usage. This is it. This is a famous slide from Morgan Stanley. Phone used to be all about voice calls. However, the smartphone usage is about data, not voice anymore. So what kind of data? It's all about internet data these days. So today, for content and service providers to provide content and services, they have to consider various platforms, such as game consoles, tablet PCs, mobile phones, TVs, desktops. Very soon, automobiles is going to be in their list. So we have this situation that we have all these different hardware, different operating systems, and different languages. Also from this slide, you can see some of the platforms that do not even exist anymore. So it's unpredictable too. So there is a problem, which is fragmentation issues that we face in this industry. So again, different hardware, different operating systems, and different languages. So it's high cost to support various platforms. It's a famous quote from Google engineering VP. He said, even Google was not rich enough to support all the hardware and platforms. And fortunately, web apps are now able to go offline and they can have richer graphics thanks to HTML5. And it's getting similar to app frameworks. Now, before we move on, native app was always a preferred choice for user experience, no questions asked. However, we've been experiencing the web evolving rapidly over the past decade or two. These days, we are approaching to a point where the difference in user experience between native and web applications is minimal to non-existent, depending on the types and design of the applications, of course. But, and of course, we are experiencing skyrocketing improvement in JavaScript performance, which is quite amazing. Over the past year, web pages have on average become 25% bigger. We are not talking about dimensions here. We are talking about download size. Based on the top 1,000 websites on the internet, the average page size has gone from 626 kilobytes to 784 kilobytes in 1 year. Now, images, pictures have always been and continue to be the biggest single factor to page size. Their contribution to page size has also increased the most if you look at the sheer size. Now, if we twist this data a little, in terms of sheer size, images are still the biggest factor as shown in the graph, as shown in the previous slide, sorry. But the fastest growing content type by far is JavaScript. It is also the second largest content type in terms of size. So you may wonder why has JavaScript usage seemingly exploded? The drastic increase of JavaScript content is most likely tied to the rise of the HTML5. A lot of analysts say so. With the websites using JavaScript as an increasingly important part of the dynamic web experience. I mean, we could say that JavaScript is finally starting to live up to its potential. Probably this is a reason why Google, Mozilla, Microsoft, and Apple are all optimizing their JavaScript engines as much as they can. I mean, these days, web developers are now doing much more with the JavaScript than they did a few years ago. So, what is HTML5? Basically, HTML5 is considered to be more structural and semantic compared to its predecessors, plus added new API, making it very suitable for web applications. So I won't go into much detail, but just briefly, HTML5 is more semantic, has offline storage capability, can access device, better connectivity, multimedia support, 3D graphics effects, performance and better integration, CSS3 styling support. So some of the key features like web form, web worker, web socket, better multimedia support for such as Canvas, video audio tags, and scalable vector graphics. So HTML5 is suitable for full-powered web applications. Especially, I would like to mention about the WebSocket. The use of WebSocket could enable a new generation of real-time, almost zero-latency web applications whose communications requirements would be too demanding for today's HTTP protocols. HTTP, which stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, it was created in 1991 and now used for most of all the traffic on the internet, on the web. Because it was designed for the document transfer, it really is not well suited for the modern-day web applications. HTTP's chief shortcoming is that it's half duplex, meaning it can only communicate in one direction, either from the client to the server or the server from the client at a time. I mean, users may not notice this because communication exchanges between the client and the server can take just a few hundred milliseconds. However, as web applications increasingly receive and send more data, this back and forth communication will only add more noticeable latency to the application. So, as a prime example of WebSocket speedness, I would like to briefly show you an implementation of the popular 1990s computer game called Quake 2. Some of you might be aware of this game, which Google engineers had ported to run on entirely within a browser, using WebSocket to bridge the server and the client. Running this game online would not have been possible through conventional HTTP. So let's briefly take a look. Yeah, that was the prime example of HTML5's WebSocket speedness. Now let's move on to move on to the HTML5 and automobiles. Cars like Enzo Ferrari or Bugatti Veyron, some of our dream cars. They're really fast. Like some of them travels over like 300 kilometers per hour. Well, Bugatti travels, as far as I know, has the record of over 400 kilometers per hour, which is amazing. Not sure how much it costs, but I'm sure it's beyond my budget. Now, in terms of a development cycle, they are not so fast. typically takes like 2 to 5 years of R&D, 7 years of production, and 7 years of support. Now, compare that to the other industries, for example. There are 11 product iterations in lifespan of one vehicle. So this results in a clear gap in hardware and software service. And there are some limitations, typical examples being common CPUs used in today's IVI like ranges from 600 megahertz to 1 gigahertz of a frequency range, which load balance of between average 35% to max 50% of performance sharing. This is due to the other background processes running on the IVI, such as navigations and all that. And typically, they use 3G network these days. But it's 3G, but real net bandwidth is only about, usable bandwidth is about 720 kilobits per second from our experience with the automakers. So there are clear limitations and restrictions exist in automobiles. Also, there are safety regulations and features that we have to follow. So which makes, all of this makes that we can't directly port and use mobile-based OS services or applications. And again, we've seen it previously. It's completely unpredictable too. It's quite chaotic, if you ask me. So let's think about what would make the perfect IVI apps platform. In terms of hardware platform, cross-platform portability across multiple hardware platforms can use built-in hardware platform security features, and hardware platform is in volume production with a competitive price. Well, in terms of a OS middleware platform, I think cross-platform portability across multiple OS platforms can use built-in OS platform security features. And OS platform is well known with the experienced programmers. In terms of apps platform, good for multiple application segments, including IVI apps. Apps platform is well known with the experienced programmers. And apps platform has large number of users. In terms of software tools, easy to use and easy to learn, creates efficient software code, and works across multiple software platforms. Apps platform targets, well, developed IVI apps can be leveraged across multiple product categories, smartphones, tablets, and or others. So, can HTML5 be an IVI apps platform? I would say yes, from our experience as well. And will HTML5 meet some or many of these above requirements? Yes, mostly. And so, HTML5, I believe, is a practical answer to the a lot of issues that we face these days for the growing internet devices, growing web content, end screen strategy, variety of platforms, and high cost. Now, I would like to briefly show you a demo that we have made for this Tizen Developer Conference to showcase our HTML5 technology. It's in the early alpha stage prototype. But what it does is that we have ported the control application to the Tizen reference phone. And what it does is it can play music, change cluster themes, send notifications, show driving analysis results, show device API test results, etc. So it's, the key point of this demonstration is that it's based in, on 100% HTML5 technology. The beauty of HTML5 is that as long as there is a HTML5 supported web browser, for example, it just works without any additional third-party plugins. So this is basically how it looks. I think some of you might have seen it already, like, for example, yesterday or the day before on the demo part that we have demonstrated. But I'll briefly show you, this is how it looks on the screenshots, but I'll briefly show you the video clip. Sorry. Maybe basically the tablet, Android tablet, serves as a cluster UI in your automobile, and phone basically is a controller. Both are powered by HTML5. Why is it not running? Hang on. All right, okay, let me try that again. Now, currently these are connected via Wi-Fi for the demonstration, yes, to the access point. But in real, it could be a 3G, LTE, or Bluetooth, anything, yes. But not infrared. Someone asked me yesterday whether it's infrared is possible. It's not. Just. While making this prototype, we were quite surprised at the performance of HTML5, to be honest, because this demonstration, this prototype is not hardware accelerated. We have not implemented the GPU hardware acceleration yet. But still, the performance is quite there. Yeah. This shows the device access, device API access to the automobiles for automobile diagnostics. So other solutions, from what we've seen, Android, which is very popular on the mobile, its compatibility is limited to Android devices, no brainer. And Android is not yet automotive grade. And in terms of, for MirrorLink, just responsiveness is just not there. And it solves phone-to-car problem, nothing else. And the for automakers, this brings the heavy dependency on the mobile handset makers. So thank you. That's about it, really. Thanks for watching.
Questions?
Yes, if you have questions, please feel free to ask. Okay then, no questions.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much.